How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Be Frank Podcast. I'm your host, Yosuke Shingu. Today we have a special guest, Chris Goodson. He's a life coach and then breathwork facilitator. And then today's episode will be number 12. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. So then we met at the Colorado backpacking trip, and then we went to Durango, Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't know. I don't know if I want to jump right in about talking about, like, you went through the divorce. After that, you went to we went to the backpacking trip, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So that I mean, that was crazy. The biggest things that, I mean, like, to tell you guys what this was, like, we went to 5 days. How much was your backpack? Like, how much you weigh?
I would probably say mine weighed about 35 pounds.
35 pounds?
Yeah.
That's good, because mine was like 50 pounds. We packed too much.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Well, it's the first backpacking trip I went on. I think mine weighed about 60. I think the more you go on, you tend to say, okay, maybe I need to pack a little lighter.
Yeah. What's the best thing you cut it off? Like, what did you bring the first time?
I think it just comes with equipment.
Yeah.
You know, the more expensive equipment it is, usually it's a lot lighter.
Yeah.
So the lighter you go, of course, you're going to pay for what you get.
Yeah.
So that can come with tent, backpack, you know, all kinds of things. And like you mentioned, you know, you dumped out of, like, why do we need batteries? We're going to be in the mountain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, or battery chargers.
Battery chargers. Yeah. And then also, but I think I'm not going to never cut that chair, though.
Sure. For sure.
But you don't like bringing a chair, right?
You can find a tree log, something to sit on. Yeah.
I mean, it was nice, though, having that chair.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really what you do. You say, okay, well, how comfortable do I want to be? So that kind of determines how light you'll go.
Yeah. How did you get into the backpack, though? Was that like a fifth time or whatever you went to a backpacking trip?
Oh, I've been on probably at least 40 or 50. 40? Yeah. Been on a bunch of them. Yeah.
So what was like a
started back in 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who did you go first? Or, like, did you go by yourself? Or
it was actually JD.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. JD opened me up to backpacking, and then I just fell in love with it.
Yeah?
Yeah, outdoors.
And then you go by yourself, or, like, you went to a group of friends? And
yeah, usually it's with a group of people.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then, like, what did you like about the backpacking? I mean, I loved it, you know, but...
Yeah, I really enjoy being out in nature.
Yeah.
You know, I find a deep sense of connection when I'm out there in the woods, and I think it really just takes you back to the naturalness of life.
Yeah.
You know, to disconnect so you can connect, you know. So that's what I experience. I really enjoy
it. It's a natural therapy, right? It's like, because I didn't notice going to the backpacking trip, but like, I thought it's going to be like a physical stuff and then we're going to have fun. But I think most things I got out of from that backpacking trip was talking to myself.
Sure.
Because there was like, yeah, of course, the group of guys going there, we had a good talk. And then especially that night, we're going around, like, around the campfire and talk about each other's, like, life. And, you know, I think that was great. But, you know, while we're walking the mountains, like, you just have so much time to think, so much time to talk about. And then, like, I was just talking to myself, like, what is the meaning of life and whole bunch of stuff, you know.
Sure.
What I mean, like, what do you talk to?
Oh, all the time. all the time. And I think you know, when you go out in the woods and you have your friends with you, you know, those are always good moments to have. You can just sit by a fire and talk about life. It's just meaningful conversation that we tend to dismiss a lot of times, and just the everyday hustle and bustle, you know, we're always working, always on the go. And so rarely do we just sit and, like, have a meaningful conversation about, you know, life and family and, you know, just things that mean something.
Yeah, I mean, what did you say about, you know, I think I asked you, like, what makes you happy or something. And then, like, what did you say? What makes you happy?
What makes me happy?
Yeah.
What makes me happy is really just knowing who I am within myself and being satisfied with who I am. But most importantly, I think loving who I am. I believe true happiness comes within. So I don't think it's, you know, trying to reach some external satisfaction, you know, which I think a lot of us tend to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that's temporary, you know? So I think when you can actually press in and go within yourself and say, okay, this is who I am, this is what I enjoy doing, and I love who I am.
Yeah.
So.
What do you enjoy the most?
What do I enjoy the most?
Are you like a nature?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could live out in the woods. Yeah, so I really could. But I also know it's important to connect with people. So it's kind of one of those things, you live out in the woods, yeah, you can, you know, have a peaceful life, but you can't share that peace with anybody because you're by yourself.
I mean, honestly, like, so much respect. Like, just 20 minutes ago, I found out you just went through a divorce before that backpacking trip, because, like, a lot of people was going through in that group of the mountains, a mountain trip. I think a lot of people... I think that, you know, computer guys, like, the first day, don't know how to turn off the microphone.
Sure.
So we're going through stuff. Even, like, I was going through, like, you know, like, a self-confidence issue. And then even, like, stage couldn't even, like, you know, like, at some point he was quitting to, you know, go through the mountains and all that kind of stuff. But you are always there to, like, help facilitate or, like, help, like, other people to... motivate others and then like inspiring other people and then educating, and then you're giving me a lot of good talks, and I should have brought a notebook and then maybe I wrote it down. But you know, I mean, what was going through your mind like whenever you're doing backpacking? You have so much like a, you know, big event, life event happen, and then but you still wanted to like motivate people. Like why did you do that?
So I believe that a lot of purpose can be birthed through pain. And so as I'm passionate about the outdoors, I'm passionate about backpacking, I'm passionate about, you know, reading and developing myself, I'm passionate about health. And so I go to the gym, work out, eat healthy, and I'm passionate about all these things. But to see purpose in it, I have to be willing to connect with other people. And I think it's in those moments when you can look at life situations as, well, it's not happening to me, you know, it's actually happening in me. And then when you can share some encouragement with other people, someone's response to your encouragement can actually help you heal, you know, because you're able to be a light for other people, you're able to encourage other people. So no longer is it you looking at the pain, well, this hurts. Of course it hurts. Let's not disregard that.
Right.
You know, situations can be painful.
Yeah.
But to look at it from a different lens, and that's just what I always try to do.
I think that's it, though, because, like, I was thinking about, no, I think you asked me, like, what is the purpose of your life or something to me. I'm like, man, that's, like, a deep question. And then, like, okay, let's do it. And then, like, I couldn't think of anything. And then I couldn't, then, like, you're saying, like, what makes you happy? And then, like, okay, and then I start, what are you truly passionate about? Like, I think you broke it down to, like, so many layer. It's like even like having a conversation, right? Like a peeling the onions or whatever.
Sure.
And then like what is your purpose of your life could be answered in a different question. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of what you told me? Or
yeah, I think some people would see a purpose of being, well, this is what I enjoy doing, so this is my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really is, it's what you're passionate about. You're passionate about doing this right here, you know, doing the podcast. It's something you're passionate about. So I think when we can look at what fills us up, you know, like I'm passionate about health, good health. And so that's why I consistently go to the gym. That's why I consistently try to eat healthy, eat unhealthy in moderation, you know, 'cause I am human.
Yeah.
But it's looking at your passions as a means of filling you up. And so it's more of this, well, this is what I enjoy doing. And then the purpose of it is, okay, what I enjoy doing, how can I help it, or how can I use it in a way to benefit other people?
Gotcha.
And so that's where the purpose comes. And so all the things I'm passionate about is what I actually do with other people, and that's where the purpose comes in.
Gotcha. So that's what you're trying to do with, I mean, like you helped me about the mindset from like, you know, whenever we are at that backpacking trip, First of all, I wanted to be organized. I wanted to ask you, like, how are you so organized? But
sure. Yeah.
But the best thing I ever got, I took away from that trip is that I am statement, like a power of I am statement. And then because you told me that, like, I was talking about stage, but almost I was like dying, and then I was done walking up to the mountain. You guys kept saying like, we're almost there. We're almost there. And it's it's a 3 hours pass, and it's still like, we're not there. And me and Zevon was like hating it, But you told us about like you have to tell yourself you are strong, you are capable. I am capable. I am strong, and I am like believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then it clicked something in my head, and then it's like my leg got a little bit lighter, my lungs got like a little bit better, and then like my mental stage changed.
Right. Yeah.
And then I was walking faster. I felt more stronger just because of I was talking to myself in a positive way. And actually I did that too at the jiu-jitsu tournament. I mean, thanks for coming, by the way.
Which you did great at.
Thank you. So, you know, I have to vision because of I went to a jiu-jitsu tournament like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I only trained maybe a couple months before that. Even like I just knew just do a triangle choke or like a couple chokes, you know. Like we don't go to like a jiu-jitsu class before. So, you know, me and JD was training. I mean, he's a good wrestler and he's a good coach, but we didn't go to jiu-jitsu class. And then I got an armbar. And then here and there we're training, and then like a four or five months ago, I started training to a jiu-jitsu class, and then I'm like, well, I'm going to sign up for this AGF tournament again. And then I went there, and then you told me that the day before that a tournament, like I have to vision the winning, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you believe it, what was the quote that you showed me? I took the phone. You remember?
I don't remember the quote, but it's just one of those things. It's not so much of visualizing it in your mind, but actually feeling the win in your heart.
You know?
I think that's the power of being able to really attract what we want in life.
Yeah.
You know, is not to just think about it, but to feel the win. And so it's almost like, you know, imagining a time that you did win something, you know, what was the feeling that you got from that, and being able to create that, because you don't necessarily have to be there to be there. You know, the win can already be there internally before you actually win the gold, which you won you won gold and gi.
Yeah, gold
and then
gi.
Silver and no gi, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, you did good.
I mean, so before the gi competition the second time, I looked at the opponent. He was like taller, which is like I had a low-key like phobia for fighting a tall guy because I went to the cage and then I was fighting with a tall guy and I lost, you know? So like I'm like, man, he's 6'1", and you know, it's, man, again, another tall guy.
Sure.
And then, but I went to in the tournament and then I was like still tired, and I remember like I need to talk to myself better.
Mm-hmm.
I am statement. So I say I am strong. I'm capable to beat this guy, and then I'm going to choke him out. And then I started imagining like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to take his back and all that kind of stuff, which I actually did in this stuff. So I was like, man, this actually worked again. And then like I'm grateful that, you know, I conquer that, you know, fear of going against a tall guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. So when you had your cage match, you said the guy was tall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the outcome wasn't as you wanted it to be in your cage match, right?
Yeah.
So there is an emotional connection to that event. And that's what can actually mess us up in a lot of things that we do in life, is because we tend to tie a present moment to a past moment. And that's where that emotional connection happens. So through that experience, it created this feeling of defeat, which you saw the tall guy at the jiu-jitsu mats. And so you're probably doubting yourself. You're probably thinking, well, the last time I fought a tall guy, I lost.
Right.
Right. So now you're recreating this experience in your mind when it hasn't even happened.
Right.
You know, so really it's like you almost set yourself up for a loss internally before you even you know, getting the match with the guys. So I think that's just the power of being able to disconnect that and recreate a memory before it even happens, because you're already internalizing it before you actually get into the match.
So, you suggest that to doing the I am statement stuff to like a forget about pass?
I am statements are very powerful. but most importantly too is being able to tie a feeling to it.
How do you do that? Like, give me an example.
So I asked you, you know, to visualize the win.
Right.
And so you're visualizing the win in your mind.
Right.
You know, you're creating that memory.
Yeah.
But what does it feel like? You know, what does it feel like to win? And I'm sure there was times in your past where you won things.
Yeah.
And so it's learning how to create that, not just through a thought, but also through a feeling.
Huh. I mean, like, you know, like, who has the shortest... Do you know which animal has the shortest memory on the earth?
Is it a fish?
Yeah.
Is it really a fish?
It's a goldfish.
Goldfish. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
You know, I've been watching a show called Ted Lasso. Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
It's an Apple TV show. And then it's about the football coach from the United States go to Europe to coach actual soccer.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like a comedy, and then like he's like a great coach or whatever, and he's like, be a goldfish.
Be a goldfish, sure.
Because if you lose it, then you can like forget about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's interesting too, because pain can also be, you know, your best opponent.
Yes.
You know, and not your worst opponent. You know, that's why I say pain can either use you or you can use it. And so I think through past experiences, like even what I experienced with my divorce, you know, I was able to use it in a way to experience something great. And it's really turning into, you know, a beautiful chapter in my life, you know, so.
I mean, that is true, though. Like, there's nothing has to be like black and white. Like, sometimes pain's good, sometimes pain's bad, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people talk about, it was insane because whenever we posted that, Burn the Ship story.
Burn the Ships. Yeah.
You know that story?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, that the people, those who don't know about the Burn the Ship story, it's just the kind of the guys was going swim across from the ship to the island, uh-huh. and then the guy burned the ship. So there's no going back.
No going back, yeah.
And then that story, like as Evan was talking, and then he did better than me explain about stuff.
So but, it's okay.
But, we got so much hated comment on that video.
Really?
It's like, that's not most healthy things, and you can't have that mentality. You're not going to be happy forever, bro. And like, I'm like, dude, like, this is like times you have to do this, and then times you don't have to do this. Because sometimes if you don't go through the hard time, and if you don't go through the, you know, uncomfortable situation, you never grow, right?
Sure.
But sometimes you have to like talk to yourself like in a winner mentality and then be nice to yourself, talk to I am statement. Like I have a hard time sometimes, you know, where do I draw the line, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, do you have a clear line? You have a difference?
I don't know, elaborate a little bit.
So like, for example, you know, you're working out.
Sure.
Maybe your elbow fucked up.
Uh-huh.
And then you can say, this pain is temporary, but I can go work through this pain. And then you keep working out.
Sure.
But sometimes my elbow might heal by itself, and then you get stronger. So within that, having that mentality, you win the match or whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a different option. Your elbow's hurt. So you should take it easy, heal yourself, and then come back. Might do good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So like, I think that can be situational.
Yeah, so like I'm just trying to figure out what's the situational.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think even for someone to not agree with what you mentioned, I mean, usually someone's response is a direct reflection on what's happening inside of them.
Yeah.
And probably there is a situation that happened in their life where pain ended up using them.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to a lot of people getting depressed.
Yeah.
You know, not looking at failure as a lesson, because everything's a lesson.
Yeah.
You know, all good things, all bad things, they're all lessons. And it all helps us evolve to get better, to grow as individuals. And not a lot of people will see it like that.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, after more talks with Yosuke, they might see it a little differently.
Yeah, I mean, like, you change people's life all the time. I mean, like, what's like to be a life coach? What does life coach do?
You know, it started from me working with people from a physical standpoint. I've been a personal trainer for a while.
Yeah.
And what I realized is I've helped a lot of people get healthy. I've helped a lot of people lose weight. You know, I've trained people for bodybuilding shows, for fitness shows. Mm-hmm. And I've also just trained people who want to just be healthy. Mm-hmm. So many different types of people, body types. And a high percentage of people that I worked with would always go back to where they started. And what I started to ask myself is, what's really going on within them?
Right.
And I started to realize, you know, diets, workout plans, they're all so temporary. They're not sustainable.
Yeah.
And I think in order to sustain a healthy lifestyle, there has to be some work done within self.
And yeah, I mean, you have to change the lifestyle pretty
exactly.
much. Yeah.
Well, you can't put on new on top of bad. You know, when we're just thinking of a diet and that's our external goal
right.
is to lose 20 pounds, lose 50 pounds. And we forget to reward ourselves during that process. And so a lot of times people get burnt out, or maybe they do reach their goal and they're satisfied, but then they go back to square one. And a lot of times it's because life happens, there's the holidays, and there's all these excuses that we can tell ourselves.
Right.
But really that becomes an opportunity to say, okay, this is happening. Maybe I need to work on something different.
Got you, yeah.
And you
got
to go to the root of the problem. And so that's how life coaching started for me, is I wanted to help people go within and not just always work on the external, you know, as far as the physical shape of their body.
Yeah, why do you think people make so much excuse about holidays?
I think it can be very ritualistic.
I mean, Christmas holidays is just like one day, right?
Sure.
And then it's just a one cheat day, and then they gain like 20 pounds. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But a lot of people do.
A lot of people do it. I mean, just the same as a lot of people get healthy on January 1st because it's the New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
I think it's all ritualistic. It's been going on for a while, and so people usually do what people do. So when you have a bunch of people talking about it and doing it, they're like, okay, well, I guess this is a normal thing. So
yeah, I mean, I just can't believe so many. Like, I mean, I think that I was fat too. Like, 4 years ago, I was like 186.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I've seen a picture.
Yeah, it's just insane to me that, like, how much, you know, like, I think I changed my lifestyle and my eating habits and stuff. But I think biggest thing I changed was drinking water.
Sure.
Honestly, like, I think people have, like, you know, less emphasis of like a power of drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Because of if you drink a gallon of water, I think everybody will be healthier.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of like, you know, sometimes, you know, the girls say like, you know, say, hey, I have a headache, you know, and then I'm like not feeling good and I'm tired all the time. And then they're like, I asked them like, how have you drink water? They're like, no, I drink coffee. I drink this stuff. I drink energy drink. You probably need a water, you know, it's not just about like, you know, just like tired all the time and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, yeah, you don't have this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, because I drink water.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think it's learning to be consistent at what works.
Yeah.
And I tell people, if you did something and it worked, do it again and just stay consistent at it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's
what's the one thing you just tell them to, like, you have to do this to lose weight or like be better shape, I guess.
Be consistent.
Be consistent?
Be consistent. Yeah, anybody can get it, but not everybody will keep it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You do calorie deficit kind of stuff?
Losing weight, yeah, it's necessary, but it's not the most important thing.
What's the most important? Consistent?
Consistency.
What's the second?
The second thing is, I don't know if there would be a second thing.
Huh. But what would they be consistent about? Workout?
Working out.
Yeah.
Eating healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people not to focus so much on the plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't do things to look good. Do things to feel good.
Yeah.
And when you do things, when you eat healthy, it's going to make you feel good.
Yeah.
And the return of that is you start looking good. So yeah. Ditch the numbers on the scale.
Yeah.
Ditch the mirror and what you constantly want to look like and yeah. start focusing on, well, I'm going to do this because it makes me feel good. And you just practice that consistently.
Yeah.
And then you look a month down, 3 months down the road, and you're like, wow, like I'm actually starting to look good. Mm-hmm. It's learning, but that also comes with going within self, because not a lot of people love themselves. Not a lot of people value themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't love yourself or value yourself, you're always going to work to achieve the things that make you look better.
Yeah.
You know.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So you changed that lifestyle from, what's that, fitness coach to a life coach?
Life coach, yeah.
Then is that a lot better? You enjoy it?
I do enjoy it because I enjoy helping people go within themselves, but to really go in the roots of what the causing issue is, you know, why do people keep going back to where they started?
Yeah.
And you just keep asking questions, and a lot of people start to realize, like, wow, there's some things that I'm still hurting from.
Yeah.
There's some insecurity issues. You know, people have identity issues.
Yeah.
People still struggle from past hurts. There's emotional trauma that a lot of people tend to not recognize is there because it stays under the rug for a while.
Yeah. Like a childhood issue. And
oh,
all that
yeah.
Kind of
it's
stuff.
Yeah. It's all there.
Yeah.
A lot of people just don't want to feel anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, do you think like people like abuse the things like alcohol and eating and drugs and kind of stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that eat through being depressed and that they binge eat.
Yeah.
Because it becomes a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
People use things to cope all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you told me before that you went through heavy, like, drug use, right? Mm-hmm. You came out. Like, yeah. What made you, like, came out?
I was tired. I was tired of being tired. And I was tired of being really tired. And I just came to a point in my life where I knew if I would continue, I would either end up dead, which I almost did die a couple times.
What were you doing?
It was opiates, all kinds of drugs. Any drug out there, I was doing it.
Damn.
Yeah. And I don't know. I had a come to moment. And I think everybody has a rock bottom moment when they're in that situation of using drugs to cope with different things. I just chose to respond to it because a lot of people hit rock bottom. They don't respond. They keep doing it. And, you know, I've been to many funerals. I've had, you know, close to 10 or 11 friends who have died from drugs, suicide. So to experience that, it was a life-changing moment for me.
Is that changed to those going to the funeral change your perspective, or?
It's a reality check. You know, when you see someone that you used to hang out with is no longer here.
Yeah.
I had one of my really good friends kill himself because he was depressed, and nobody saw him as being depressed, and it's because he wore a mask. And we all walk around with masks.
Yeah.
But now when I can have meaningful conversations with people, like we experienced in Colorado,
yeah,
you learn to see what is behind that mask. And I think if we would just take more time to hear out people's hearts, we'll know, like, wow, like this person's really hurt and going through some stuff. And I think that's the biggest thing, man. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be listened to. And not a lot of people will take the time to listen.
Hmm. So is that why you love helping other people?
I do.
Because you lost your friend?
Yeah, because I know what pain feels like. I know what emotional pain feels like. You know, I walked out a lot of painful situations, even growing up as a kid with my dad. So there's that childhood father wound that I had.
Right.
And then that carried on. And just to know what depression does to people and to know what anxiety does to people. I mean, when I went through my divorce, I had a terrible anxiety attack where I thought my heart was going to stop just because I was in pain of missing her, and I was in pain of what happened. And that's what led for me to experience breath work and just to know what breathing could do to the body.
Yeah.
So everything that I've been through, really is just been things that I've grown through to now lead to a purpose of helping people.
No, I mean, you wear a great mask too. I mean, I didn't know you were going through the, you know, divorce and all that stuff. And then we were together for 5 days and I didn't even know. Maybe I should. Yeah, I feel bad.
No, I don't feel bad. Yeah, don't feel bad at all.
And then like, I totally get it because of, you know, I lost my best friend 2 years ago in the St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was overdosed. And then I hate that phone call, you know, coming from the people who his family called me. And then they let me know what happened. And then that hit me. And then like, well, I wish I had more time to enjoy life with him. And then like, I should have created more memories. And then like, you know, I should have called more and all that kind of stuff. And then that changed my life a big time. It's kind of like, you know, I was focusing on a lot of work, too much about, you know, we have to do this, we have to do this and do that. And then like, sometime I get a phone call about let's hang out and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes, well, I have to work, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I think if that didn't happen, I will probably never went to a backpacking trip for 5 days because that will miss too much work or something like that. So currently, like, I'm trying to enjoy life and then work hard. And then that's why I do have a same thing about passion about that, helping other people to be better themselves, you know, and then also to just don't be, you know, hear them out and all, like help other and inspire other people to do healthier or more things to not miss out. And then also doing this YouTube journey or even this podcast stuff, I get to meet people, I get to talk to people, and then I get to share the memory and the document. And then also I get to, you know, hopefully inspire the people, you know.
Sure.
So that's kind of why I'm doing it. But it was, I would like to talk about that breath work though. But so I went to your breath work session, seminar, what was that called?
It was a gathering.
Gathering.
Yeah, breath work gathering, yeah. I don't really like to call things events.
Yeah.
More like a gathering, yeah.
Gathering.
Yeah.
And then we went to, I went there and then like I had no idea what was about to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So my expectation, even though you kept saying, telling me that I shouldn't have an expectation. So my expectation was just going to like a yoga class and then do big breathing about like through the nose, breath out from the mouth, and then just chill and then meditate. Because I do meditation at night sometimes, like 30 minutes guided meditation, and then feel the like forehead and then feel my right hand or whatever.
Sure.
And then so that was my expectation. And then like whenever I was listening to your friend Eric, and then also like we went to like a pre-breath work like ritual or whatever, and then like, man, like this is like insane. Like it just like, am I in like a some sort of like a religion experience, you
sure.
know? I was like, man, this is not my vibe.
Yeah.
And then like I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. And then once we start doing the music and the actual breath work, I can't explain like what went through my body, but just breathing, it just my body almost got like on drugs, like a high, but also like I knew I was there.
Sure.
Like in there, because like when you do drugs or something like that, then like you're just out of mind and like you just don't understand. But like then I felt like a highness. Like I even asked like one of the cameramen that Like, are we, like, are you high too? Like, is that like sure. a smoke? Like, that was sage, right?
Yeah.
Is that thing have like some sort of like a weed in it or something? And like, but no, then like, I was just keep breathing fast and like all that kind of stuff. Okay, I went back in there and they just like, it was so unbelievable. Like, I can't believe still, like, just breathing heavy will do, like, I don't know, like, how do you explain breath work?
Yeah, so just going back to how it was birthed.
Right.
You know, I went through some heavy anxiety, really depressed. I didn't really like to label it as that, but I was feeling things in myself.
Right.
And that night, I literally thought I was going to die. Like, my heart was going to stop. Woke up the next day, and I said, okay, this is happening. And I took a moment to feel what was happening, what was going on.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't want to go to the doctor and get medication. Okay. You know, I always like to look at things from a holistic approach, from a natural approach. And so I started to research, you know, what can help calm my body from what it just experienced. It was a scary moment, really scary moment. And I discovered breath work. And there's all kinds of different styles of breathing. And a lot of people would go towards, you know, Wim Hof, for, you know, with what he talks about. You know, he's built the platform for his breathing, his breath technique. But there's so many different styles and just meditational practices you can do to relax, which is what you experience. So I did a couple practices through this guy that I found on Google.
Yeah.
And it made me feel good.
Did you watch like a YouTube video or something?
I did. Oh, I did. Really? And, you know, they talked about different styles of breathing for, you know, to give you different experiences. And something happened in me when I experienced breath work. And me and just the person I am, I'm like, okay, well, if this can help me, then who else can it help? That's where that purpose comes in.
Yeah.
So I became passionate about breath work and then I wanted to discover more. So that's where I found.
You went to that stage of that, like, high. Do you get that feeling too?
I do. Yeah.
So that, were you experienced that by watching the YouTube video too?
Well, so I didn't experience it on that level until I went to Guatemala to learn more different styles of breath work. And that's how I discovered conscious connected breathing. And it's like holotropic breathing.
Gotcha.
So what we did was conscious connected breathing. And so when you do that style of breath work, is you're not giving your body any pause when you breathe. And in the beginning, we inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth. And so there's that parasympathetic working where you're more relaxed. But once you start breathing all through the mouth, and it's just in and out, in and out, in and out with no pause, your CO2 levels will drop. And that's what starts to give you all the tingles. And then your body will go into what's called a trance phase. You know, you can experience different levels of trance. And so breath work is a body to mind connection, when meditation is more mind to body. So anytime that I've, you know, gone into meditation, it's usually because I got too much going on up here and I need to settle my thoughts.
Right.
But breath work's totally opposite.
What did you say? Breath work is connected to body, to mind?
Breath work starts in the body.
Okay.
So when I said don't go into it with an expectation, but you can go into it with an intention. Because a lot of times when we expect something, for one, you might get something different.
Yeah.
But two, you want to escape this up here. And it's learning how to disengage from the analytical mind so your body can experience what it needs to experience. And that's when things can happen. You know, people tend to revisit past hurts. You know, there's people that, you know, have PTSD and have gone through some heavy stuff in their past, emotional traumas, and that's what's doing the work. And so it's like if you were to get a scrape on your arm, your body's going to want to heal that scrape. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Right. And you can maybe speed up the process by cleaning it and adding some ointment, putting a Band-Aid on it. So if your body wants to physically heal, your psyche also wants to heal. And breath work allows just that.
Huh. So I mean, like, so much questions. But
sure.
What's respect to you is like you watched a YouTube video, right?
Sure.
And then you learn about breath work. okay, I want to help people. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, I want to help more people by learning more detail, right?
Sure.
And then you look at Guatemala. How did you figure out that trip?
Guatemala was through searching Google of where can I go to learn how to facilitate this. I wanted to learn how to teach it to people because I saw what it did to me.
Yeah.
And I just came upon this guy who traveled the world and...
Like online?
Online, yeah.
Did you talk to them before you go?
There was an application process where you would talk to a guy on the phone and he would interview you to see if you're, you know, the person that, you know, would need this. Of course, everybody needs it, but this particular process was geared towards training people to train people.
Yeah.
You know, but there were some people there that weren't coaches and they weren't in that field of coaching people and they just wanted to experience the process to heal for themselves. But everything that we learned, it was to be able to facilitate it.
I mean, did you have to pay for that trip and stuff, right?
I did, yeah, yeah.
That's great. How much was it?
It was an investment.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That I could then, like, I just admire that. Okay, I learned it. It's a different country. Let's take a trip.
Sure.
You just never thought about it? Isn't that like a... I'll be like, well, it might be sketchy, you know?
Yeah.
It never went through your mind?
Not really.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, there was a thought of knowing that something's going to happen with all this.
Right.
I've been to other countries, but I never have gone to another country by myself.
Right.
To experience something I know nothing about with complete strangers. Yeah. So that was very different. But I also know that... we have to be willing to follow our hearts sometimes.
Yeah.
And I felt something in my heart and I wanted to follow it and it's turning into something great. And just the people that I've been able to share this with already, it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it is very, beautiful things. And then what was your first time, like you went through fourth dimension war? Like whatever you call it.
What'd you call it? Dimension? a trance. You have different levels of trance.
How do you describe your feelings?
It is an outer body experience.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's natural medicine for the body. And you will experience, we'll just say this, you will experience whatever is needed for you to experience. There are some things that came
up. So breath work is natural medicine?
It's natural medicine for the body, yeah.
So what is healing?
What is it healing?
Yeah.
The psyche, the body, the emotions, the heart, the mind.
Yeah.
The spirit, the soul.
Yeah, it needs to be. It's not the scars. It can be like, I don't know how do you say it, like, if you get a scar, it will heal, or like a broken bone, right?
Well, genetically, your body wants to heal itself.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize is your body is a fascinating, like what we have is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think when we can look at our bodies as a gift and a vessel, like, okay, God gave me this gift. It's a vessel. How can I steward it? And how can I use it in a way to where you're honoring your body? But you have a mind that does fascinating things, which has been able to help you in a situation where you probably were starting to judge it, even though it wasn't happening yet in your fight or in your jiu-jitsu match.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then also the heart. You know, we have to allow ourselves to heal. We have to allow ourselves to feel.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we just don't want to feel pain. We don't want to go to those situations because it hurts, but it's necessary.
I mean, heart is definitely, you can't see it, but you can feel the brokenness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But when you feel it and you're in a position to integrate it, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Because, and also breath work, you know, as I'm there to facilitate, I'm also there to guide you through the process. So there's a nurturing process that comes with that. And that's, you know, you just feel a sense of comfort when you have someone there with you.
Yeah.
Because usually when people feel pain, you know, like trauma is developed in the freeze moment. You know, it's like a lot of times, you know, when people experience a traumatic situation, okay, and you either have two choices. You can fight your way through it, or you can, you know, peace out. I'm going to bounce because I can't do this. There's conflict or things happening. If you're even in a position to leave the situation, some people will leave because they don't want to deal with conflict. But then something happens, like, for instance, if you were to get held up on the streets, a guy pulls a gun on you and points it to your head, and he says, give me everything you got. But you could also be in a position to fight your way through it because of what you know through mixed martial arts, correct?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody pulled a gun on me, I'm just going to give it to you.
You probably just give it to him.
Yeah.
But I think there's a brief moment.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But there's a brief moment where a lot of people aren't able to respond in that situation. So there's that freeze where you're like, oh my gosh, this is happening. I don't know what to do. And you're just stuck.
Yeah.
Right? Things like that happen all the time. A car crash.
Yeah.
You know, a car crash can traumatize people because you're in a place to where you can't respond. And so that's where the trauma happens, is in that freeze moment, right? Yeah. So when you experience breath work, your body will usually go to those experiences to where you relive those moments, but not in a way to where you just freeze and don't know what to do. Because now it's like, okay, I'm feeling this. You process it. And the integration process also afterwards helps you walk through it, you know, and that's the whole part of you allow your heart to feel, you allow yourself to experience the pain,
right,
to where you don't just, you know, disengage from it, but, you know, like, okay, I'm here. This hurts. This is what I'm feeling. How can we grow through this?
Right.
And, it's a fascinating healing modality. That's what it is about breath work.
So, like, natural medicine, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, like a mushroom.
Yeah, like, it can be.
Right?
Yeah, it can be, yeah.
So breath work, something in the body, is something happening, right? Like a chemical-wise?
Well, mushrooms are said to be able to
do... Or even like a breath work. Like when you're doing the breath work, is that something happening? CO2 is dropping and then something is happening to the body in the healing process,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
So my question is, like, is there, like, too much?
Is there too much?
Yeah. Like, because, like, if you take, like, maybe alcohol or, like, any medication, right?
Sure.
Too much is bad, right? Is there, like, if it's natural medicine, just breath work, is there a limit?
I wouldn't say necessarily, because I haven't experienced that for myself.
Yeah.
And when I went through my experiences in Guatemala, we did breathing every day.
Damn, and you went to that stage every day?
Every day. We had about maybe a day off here and there. But we went through a lot of breathing. So I went through some intense processes myself. But when you reach that level, that's when you... It's almost internally, you know, when to just rest in that, right?
Like, I had enough.
Well, because you're there, your body's going through the experience,
right?
You know, and if it's an emotional experience, you're probably going to cry. You're probably going to feel the pain, right? And then also that's why it's good to have someone there with you, because they can see it from, you know, their visual of what's going on.
Yeah.
But also it's being intuitive with the process. You know how to nurture that. You know, if someone needs to be talked to, you know, like, how are you feeling? What's going on? Talk to me. And so that's that guided help that you receive.
I think that I didn't go there. I mean, I would like to go there next time. And then I can experience, like, what that looked like. It was, I think I didn't go to a mind that, like, I stopped my physical stage, and I didn't go to, like, a mind stage. Is that, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And a lot of times we can interfere with that process just by going to our analytical mind, because it's like, you know what you're feeling, and a lot of people experience the cramps in their hands.
Yeah.
They experience the tingles, and their feet will cramp up.
Yeah, I did feel that.
Okay, yeah. That's when CO2 drops in your body, so you will experience those cramps and those spasms. So when you're like, okay, what's going on? Why am I experiencing this? And a lot of times it can be fearful for people who, which I do make it aware before I do sessions to say, well, this is possible. It could happen. Okay. But either you can go into it with an open mind and say, I'm just going to allow my body to do as it needs to do. Or you can go into it with like, okay, what am I about to experience? Maybe you might get fearful. You might start doubting the process. So it's learning to disengage from this up here so your body can do the work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was definitely fearful.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Sometimes it takes more than a couple sessions for people to reach that point.
Yeah. I would definitely want to try it. And then I've been telling people about this, and then people are like, well, what are you doing? And what is going on, you know?
Sure, yeah.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard to explain what that experiences are. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what. So you teach that class now, and then what? So is that your plan to do this breath work and then life coaching? I mean, it's a perfect match.
Yeah.
But like, what is your plan?
My plan is to help people reach a level in life to where they can just be free, and not feel they always have to go to other things to cope. Breath work, it's natural medicine. You don't have to take stuff to experience, you know, I mean, not to discredit, you know, things out there. You know, sometimes, you know, you might have to go and get your medical marijuana card to, you know, to be able to reach that level of peace through marijuana or, you know, psilocybin, or maybe even go get medication. You know, so not to discredit any of that. But I will say this, your body is a very, very fascinating vessel.
Yeah.
And it can do amazing things if we would just give ourselves time to go within ourselves and say, okay, I want to learn what my body can do.
Yeah.
And breath work helps you experience that.
I mean, yes, definitely. And then everybody was there was so peaceful. Mm-hmm. Other than one guy that tried to like...
Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he got challenged a little bit. I don't know. It's possible.
Isn't that like a... Is that go like crazy? Like, can people have like heart failure or something? Because that guy who was trying to sell his business or whatever, I was watching him because, you know, I was like next, you know? And then like, his like lungs was like, vroom, vroom, you know, sure. So high.
Yeah.
And like, is he okay, you know?
Yeah, he was just, you know, he was experiencing just a deep level of trance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there like a limit? Like, is there like a case of like a heart, like a failure or something doing the breath work?
Are you asking me, can you die from doing breath
work? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It hasn't been said, or it hasn't been shown that you can die through breath work. And I don't think you can.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I was kind of scared, you know?
Yeah.
Cause of that, I wanted to know, because whenever I'm going to the next stage, right? Like, mm-hmm. Let it go and do the body itself. And then like, I don't know, you know?
Sure. I mean, it's been even said that breath work has helped people with heart conditions.
Hmm.
It's helped people who have conditions in their lungs. I mean, it's helped people in a lot of different ways, you know? But, you know, the doctors aren't going to preach breath work because they get paid from writing medication. So it's breath work just isn't something that's talked about a lot. It's something that hasn't been, you know, there's not a whole lot of scientific proof on it, but there is some.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not widely talked about as a lot of other, you know, healing modalities. You know, I mean, we live in a society that, well, I'm going to write you a prescription and take this, and I mean, that's how a lot of people get hooked on opiates too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what can be a way to where we can experience healing for the body where I don't have to go and get medication?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I understand, like, if something happens and, you know, there are some necessary times where you have to get a medication to help with some kind of physical pain, and that's where opiates come in place. But
yeah.
I do think there needs to be you know, a better process in walking that out to where people don't get addicted to it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm all about natural medicine, natural healings. I mean, also, like, even, like, cannabis or whatever. And, like, even, like, my friend I was talking about, he was a cannabis advocate. Then he moved to Texas. And then he got a job. And then they drug tested. And then the cannabis was not good. So he quit that smoking cannabis product. And then he can get prescription for other things, right? So he started doing that, you know what I mean? So I think about that sometimes, like, if Texas has a different law.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, maybe he's still here, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But that's something we can't change. But this is a kind of the every time I ask for my guest, what would you give yourself to 5 years ago, you? So 2017, what were you doing in
2017? 2017 is when I went on that hike with JD.
Oh, the first time?
Yeah, first time in Colorado.
That's what were you doing? You doing a fitness coach or what?
Yeah, I was still a personal trainer.
Yeah.
At that time, you know, I was in that journey of working on myself and wanting to grow and, you know, doing business with nutrition. And
Yeah. So what would you give yourself advice that 2017 you, 5 years ago?
What advice could I give myself? So I think if I give advice, it would usually be to maybe help someone not make that same decision or make a different decision. But I think back then in 2017, I would probably say, don't steer away from what's dear to your heart. Yeah. Because there was things that I did want to do that I didn't do because I was trying to chase that level of success through business.
What was it?
What's that?
What was the things you wanted to do, but you didn't?
You know, do more meaningful things. I wanted to, you know, take more trips, you know, to explore the outdoors. You know, back in 2015, I lost my dad. And there was that time when I felt in my heart to go spend more time with him, but I was too busy trying to chase success. So I think that's something that really led my life for many years, was trying to chase success because I wanted a lot of money and I wanted all these things. But, you know, down the road, I realized it's all meaningless. And so I think even having moments like this, I mean, to me, that's what life is about.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What is that? What do you see yourself in 5 years?
Where do I see myself in 5 years?
Yeah. I know people tell me, like, you know, don't make this podcast like an interview.
Sure.
This is the most cliche interview question.
No. It's good stuff. Yeah, yeah. In 5 years from now, I see myself traveling to different countries, helping people with breathwork.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think you can do it anywhere, right?
Absolutely.
Can you do breathwork without the music?
You can. I think the music just kind of adds a little more guided journey to it. Gotcha. Because music can be very provocative. It can be very
drawing. Did you choose that playlist?
Some of it.
I mean, that's a good...
Yeah.
You could be a good DJ, too.
Well, I had a playlist, but in those moments, sometimes you got to go to other playlists just based off what people are experiencing.
So you change it on, like, a real time?
Well, I had a playlist. I always have a playlist to go off of, but I never stick to that whole playlist, just because, you know, you're intuitive with the process. You're watching people experience certain things, and sometimes you might be like, oh man, I need to play this song because it might help draw something out. And usually it does.
Is that playlist available on the Spotify?
It is Spotify.
Yeah,
yeah. I do use Spotify for all my music. Spotify is where it's at.
Yeah. No, like, do you, like, people can, like, link into go to your playlist?
I'm not for sure if I have my playlist shareable or not.
Huh.
I always listen to songs and add them to different playlists. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had it, like, I'll go to that playlist and sure. listen to it sometimes.
Yeah.
Or like whenever I'm in the sound or something.
I mean, so I used to be a DJ.
Oh,
and
really?
That's a desire that's coming back up, is I want to start making music again.
Oh, nice.
I want to make music and use it in my breathwork sessions. And so, you know, having retreats,
yeah.
you know, I want to be able to have retreats and walk people through breathwork by using actual real instruments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I didn't know.
Yeah.
What else you did? What else are you, what were you doing before fitness coach?
Yeah. You know, just trying to get my life together.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of things that I guess I can say I was a creative person. I always had an ear for music. You know, I enjoyed drawing a lot. You know, I used to draw a lot of graffiti and different things like that. So yeah, there's some things that I've tucked back for quite a while. I'm starting to pull out again.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's awesome, man. Is there how people can find you?
So they can go to my Instagram, Chris H. Goodson, and then I have everything on there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully we'll make you a website.
Yeah.
And then I will put that link in below.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Goodson, that was a pleasure, a conversation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
Well, if you guys are watching on the YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe. And then I'm going to put Chris Goodson's Instagram link in the below, and if you're listening on a different podcast platform, give me a 5-star review, and then always be frank, and then see you guys next Friday. Peace.